Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for just knitting our hearts together. And in Jesus' name, we dedicate ourselves to you and to your cause in this and in coming generations. Use us, Father, in partaking of your bread today that there'll be so much left over. We'll have plenty to share with others. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
We're going to begin a brand new series this morning, Frequently Asked Questions. These are questions we've received over the course of 18 years of ministry and the existence of Grace Church. There's some questions, you know, we get about Grace Church. There's some questions we get about God's kingdom. There's some questions we get about Scripture, things that maybe people don't understand about Scripture. And then we get questions where people see us do something in church that's different than what they grew up in. And so they have questions about that. The Lord has asked us to do this series to bring greater clarity and bring some definition. Everybody say definition. Definition to certain truths that He's given us over the years that have brought great freedom to a whole lot of people. So with that emphasis on certain thoughts and certain questions, the Lord has given us the directive on which questions we're answering. Okay, so I don't have Brother Gavin come out and I pick from a hat and here we go. Okay, Lord's given us some directive, but I will say this. I'm not promising you anything, but I will say this. If you have a question or a thought you're curious about, jot it down, put it in the cheerful givers box. And if I'm able, I'll weave it into some of the questions that the Lord has given us to answer. Fair enough? All right. Well, let's get started on the very first one. First question is this. Every church I've ever gone to has a church membership. How come Grace Church doesn't? Well, the first thing I want to say is, even though you will not find a directive anywhere in Scripture to make church members, okay, there's nothing in Scripture about church membership, becoming a church member, making church members, even though you won't find it in Scripture, we are not here to say any church that has a church membership is of the devil or has totally missed it or anything like that, any more than churches who pass offering plates are doing something wrong. Whereas, you know, we don't do that. We have cheerful givers boxes. Why don't we do that? Because every church needs to do what the head of that church, Jesus Christ, Amen. Leads them to do. They need to do whatever He's asking them to do.
Yes.
Okay? So that's why we do some of the things that we do that might be different from somebody else. But we're certainly not saying, you know, they're bad and we have it all figured out. All right. The Lord had asked us to place our emphasis not on church membership, but on church calling. Being called to a church. You hear Sister Gretchen talk about it all the time, most every Sunday. We don't have a church membership per se, but we very much believe in being called to a church. Like, God will place you. God will call you to a particular body. I was visiting with a lady in between services this morning who basically bore witness to that very thing. She was out of state for many years. She moved back here where she's from, and there's many churches in Choctaw, so she was trying different ones. But she said it really is a calling because you can walk in and just know through the Holy Spirit whether that's home or not. She said, but coming in here, I knew this is where God had called me. Nothing to do with becoming a church member, but being called by God, His voice, to a particular body. And so the Lord has asked us to place our emphasis on that. That just like He'll call you to the body of Christ, He'll call you to a local body. Okay? We are a body within the body of Christ. Okay? We are a family within the family of God. And we are a church within the church of Jesus Christ. All right. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at some scriptures. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility, lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, look at this, bearing with each other in love. Verse 3, endeavoring. Everybody say endeavoring. This is a labor term in the Greek, okay? So in the translation, it literally means work hard to maintain or keep the unity of the... The Spirit. No, not the faith. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He will actually go on to say in Ephesians 4 verse 13, we're going to walk in the unity of the Spirit until we come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of a mature man. Now, I would submit we're probably not there yet, right? We don't all look perfectly like Jesus in all our attitudes and actions yet. Amen? So what do we do until we all believe the same way? We maintain the unity of the Spirit. We're born of the same Spirit. We're washed in the same blood, and we're loved by the same Father. That's what gathers us together. Okay, in verse 4, there is one body, there's one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So that's why we talk about if you don't like somebody in the church, you got to take it up with God. Amen? Because he set them here. And they're probably on his payroll. They're working for him to annoy you so he can teach you to love people by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. Oh, God, don't shout me down now. God, I'm preaching good. God doesn't want you just being limited by praying that everybody would act better so you could love them. He wants you to love people the way he does by the Spirit. All right. So I love that passage. Very valid question, though, when we're talking about, okay, no church membership, but we can be called to a church. Here's a great question. What does that look like to be called to a church? What does that mean? If we're not church members together, but God called us all here by his Spirit, what does it look like? I'm glad you asked. Are you ready? All right. First service wasn't ready. Number one, what does it look like to be called to a local church? Number one, it means God is choosing where you go, not you. When you look at the Western church, the church in America, it's a whole lot more me first than God's doing the choosing. God's doing the directing. So when you're called to a church, you're like, Father, where would you have me to be sown? Where can I go participate and be given into and then be given to? Where can I pour in and be poured into? Where can I be part of a church family? Amen. Amen. That's what it looks like. It means God choosing where you go, not you. And number two, this is even worse. It means you forfeit the right to get mad and leave. Oh, goodness. We've seen that, right? Well, I'll just take my church membership. I'll just take it over there. Well, we don't have one, so. No, if you're called to Grace Church, then you forfeit the right to just get mad and leave. Yep. God's going to direct you and instruct you on where you're called and where you're to be plugged in. So what we're saying is you're not at Grace Church because everyone and everything there trips your trigger. You love everything. No, you're here because God sent you here. You're called here. Why do you think I'm still here? You think I hadn't thought about leaving? You think everybody's been nice to me? You don't think I've been lied on? You don't think I've been misunderstood at times? Oh, my goodness. I'm still here because God called me here. And you would nod your head at that, wouldn't you? Okay, yeah, God called Pastor Steve. You know God calls all the elders. God calls the staff. God calls the leadership, and God calls every one of you. And if we ever figure this out, we'll move some mountains in central Oklahoma. If we ever figure out we're called by God's heart and God's hand to be together, we can move some mountains.
Amen.
Because then we gets a whole lot bigger than me. And there's multiplicated power in we. In agreement, in teamwork, and those kind of things. We got to get out of the mindset, well, if I don't like something, I'm just going to leave. We got to get out of that mindset. The Christian life is not about personal preference. I'm not getting a lot of help. The Christian life is not about us. It's not about our personal you know, peaks and preferences. Jesus didn't come to make us all comfortable. He came to grow us up in all aspects into Him, that we'd look like Him. He didn't come and die so you'd be on easy street, so everybody cater to you. That's not even good for you. Is it good for your own children to do everything they ask you to do? Is it good for your children not to have any adversity or trial? No, it's not good for them. They grow and they learn and they mature through some of those things. So He didn't come to make us comfortable. Where's my young people? I know I got a few over here. 18 and younger, raise your hand. Think some of you are lying. All right. Oh, yes, right over here. Young people, hear me. Please forgive us. Please forgive us, because the church over the years, we have not modeled church as a calling well. We have not modeled church as a family well. We've done the Walmart approach. And that is, if you don't like it, take it back. If you don't like it, go change it in for something else. We've often modeled that our desires come first, not God's. And when it comes to being in a local body, God's desire needs to come first. We need to be hearing from Him where we're supposed to be. Now, here's my disclaimer. This needs to be said, because how many of you know there have been some abuses in church membership and leadership, making people stay and all that. So hear what I'm about to say. It doesn't mean that everyone is called forever to a particular body. Okay? Not called forever to a particular body. I believe that some are. I think some are called for a season. Some may come just for a little while. You know how many people we've had come in and just be healed and just rest and then go out? Then praise God for that. We don't own them. Every member of the body of Christ belongs to Christ Himself. They don't belong to Grace Church or Baptist Church or Methodist Church or anybody. We don't own anybody. Christ owns them all. So when somebody comes and they're healed and they're restored and they say, man, Pastor, I feel like that God's leading me over into Edmond, we bless them. Go advance the kingdom in Edmond. Somebody ought to clap your hands for that. I'm telling you, that's refreshing. It's refreshing. We had a gentleman who was on staff here for 2-3 years. He's pastoring. He's the lead pastor in Jones, Oklahoma now. We're not threatened by that. We praise God for it. We want to help raise up leaders and send them out. Now, there are leaders he'll raise up here that may be here for the duration of their life. But man, that's up to him. And I just say all that to say, not everybody is called forever to a local body, but there's right reasons to leave. And there's right ways to leave. Yes, right. Where we leave blessed. You're blessed. We're blessed that we're still part of the same team, right? You realize when you get to heaven, we're not going to have any aught or strife in heaven. So why would we have any here? We'll be on the same team there. We're on the same team here. And just because we may have differences or Lord's leading you elsewhere doesn't mean there has to be some chasm where we can't even talk to each other on the street. That's silly. That's the enemy. They'll know we're Christians by our love for each other. John 17 says, when we're one, as He and the Father are one, the world will know that God sent Jesus here to die for them. I don't get it, but there's something in unity. There's a mystery where our unity and our oneness as believers outside of church walls is a witness to the world. But mostly what they see is division and fussing and fighting because we don't all believe the same. He never said stick together because you believe everything the same. He said work hard to maintain the unity of the Spirit until you come to the unity of the faith. Amen. You go to Africa. When the Muslims go into a village, they do one mosque, they do one school, they do one hospital. The churches, when Christians go into African villages, there's 6 churches. And all they do is point out what the other does wrong, believes wrong. Man, if they would just work together, they could win the village for Christ. Brethren, it ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. So I say all that to just say it's a kingdom mindset to understand, hey, if God calls James and Diane to Edmond, we can rejoice with them. We don't lose. We still win. Because when the church in Edmond wins, we win. Because in a kingdom mindset, we're all on the same team. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, you did good. You got through that one. Number three, what else does it look like when you're called to a body? Well, it looks like family. Ephesians 2:19, New Living Translation. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. Look at this. You are members of God's family. So there you go. When you got born again, you became a church member. You're a member of the church of Jesus Christ. You are a member of his church and his body when you get born again. Let me show you a couple other scriptures. Ephesians 3:15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So there's family. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Isn't it much more exciting that we're not all here out of duty because we're, quote, church members? We're all here because we belong to the same Father. That we're all born of the same Spirit and the same Jesus that talks to you and conveys the Father's love to you and heals you and forgives you when you blow it. That's the same one who talks to me. That's why we're here. We're in love with the same person. See, one of the weaknesses of church membership can be your fellowship is based upon what you believe. We don't subscribe to that. We subscribe to our fellowship is based on whom? On whom we believe. So unless when you got born again, you knew perfect theology, I think we're all works in progress. So we love the same Jesus, and now in fellowship, you know, with Gary or Tracy, whoever, as my relationship and fellowship is based on we love Jesus together, we can grow each other now. Amen. We can sharpen each other. I can learn from them and they can learn from me. Does that make sense? Instead of saying, well, you don't believe just like I do, so I can't walk with you. That's one of the most misunderstood scriptures in all the Bible. Amos 3:3, unless two agree together, they can't walk together. That word agree is just make covenant. It's a covenant term. Unless they're in covenant together, they won't be able to live through their differences. That's what he's saying. And we're in covenant together because we're all loved by the same covenant-keeping God who washed us and bathed us in his son's blood. Amen. One more is Galatians 6:10, Good News Translation. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially those who belong to our family in the faith. Man, what does it look like when you're called? It looks like family. We are family. I got all my sisters and me. You guys know it? Yep. I thought maybe I was so far off that you couldn't recognize it. So we're family. We're all gathered here together because we're in God's family together. There's no obligation here as a, quote, church member. We're gathered for the work of God together. And frankly, it's exciting. Yes. Born of the same Spirit, washed in the same blood, loved by the same Father. That's our commonality. That is so powerful. So powerful. And when I say we're family, I'm not even speaking figuratively. I mean in reality. We really are family. We really do belong to each other because we've all been made to drink of the same Spirit. We've all been baptized into the body of Christ by the same Spirit. Let me show it to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 through 13, New Living Translation. It's the one and only Spirit who distributes all the gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. But again, as I mentioned earlier, there's principles here that we are a body within the body. So just like we're one with the body of Christ, though, on this level, we're one with each other. Make sense? We let the word interpret the word. All right, and then verse 13, some of us are Jews, some Gentiles, some slaves, some free, but we've all been baptized into one body by the one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. That's why we're here. That is how we're called together, is by the same Spirit. Not because we all believe exactly the same way. That's part of the journey. Where we can grow each other and sharpen each other. But how do we do that? How do we overcome when we have differences, we argue a little bit? The Spirit is our unity. The Spirit always brings us back together. Amen. So all of our differences, like Jew, Gentile, slave or free, black or white, male or female, whatever our background, We have people with Catholic background, Methodist background, Baptist background, Pentecostal background. Whatever the background or ethnicity is, we've all been made to drink of one spirit. That is where our commonality is. And that makes us family. It's not even that we just believe in Jesus together. This guy who was here 2,000 years ago. We know Jesus together. We're of his spirit together. Christianity is a spirit-led relationship. Amen. The guy who talks to you, he talks to me. And so my point is, we've all been baptized into the one spirit. We've all been placed. Everybody say placed. When you received Christ, when you acknowledged his sacrifice, his life, his love, on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit personally placed you into the body of Christ. Okay? And that's why when you read in the New Testament, all the scriptures about being in Christ we're accepted, in Christ we're holy, that's what the Holy Spirit did for you. He placed you in Christ. And that's how we are united, and that's how we are family. It does not say you've been baptized into one belief. The Holy Spirit baptized you into one doctrine. No. The Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. Another misstep, I think, sometimes in church membership is when they believe around, when they build fellowship or base fellowship on what they believe. What happens when your beliefs change? I call that spiritual growth. Amen? I mean, we don't even agree with ourselves from 3 years ago. That's spiritual growth. So a weakness of church membership is, well, here's everything we believe, and they get locked into it. And everybody who's going to be a church member has to believe this instead of on whom we believe, and that we're going to grow and evolve with him. We're going to move with him. As he teaches us, as he gives us new revelation, we're going to say, well, okay, that's how we saw that then, but this is how we see it now. Amen, amen. Thank you, sister. There's no way we're going to be able to get everybody to believe the same way, but we can be unified in the Holy Spirit who placed us in the body of Christ when we got born again. He literally immersed you, church, and placed you in Christ and into his one body. That was your new birth. That's when you became a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, right? He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. And that was the day that we all became family members. And what else does family look like? Well, I don't know about your family, but mine has problems from time to time. So we're going to have, as family, we'll have problems, we'll have differences, but there's something bigger than our differences. What? We're family. We have the same dad. We have the same Christ that we're in love with. So there's going to be problems, but we're going to overcome those problems. We're going to defend each other. We're going to protect each other. Don't breathe the air out of the room, but we're going to be nice to each other. How refreshing to go to a church where the people are nice. Amen. Not the whole us four and no more vibe, or, hey, you're in my seat. we're praying for new people. We're asking the Lord to send to this house and to this community of faith who he desires to be here. And so that doesn't look like, hey, you're in my chair. That looks like, hey, it is so good to have you. So good to see you.
Even if you're in my chair.
Yes, even if you're in my chair. You can just add that little bit on at the end. So we're going to be nice to each other. We'll protect each other. We're going to live every day in the perspective that our Father's Spirit is here. Our Father's Spirit is here on earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. So heaven's Spirit is here. What does that mean? It means we live every day as though heaven were already here. And Annie, stand up. Annie is my sister, man in Christ. Isn't she awesome? She is. She's a blessing. She's my sister in Christ. Not just in heaven when we're both dead. Right now. Because the Spirit of heaven has already been birthed in our hearts. Amen. Exploded in our hearts. Yes. People get all spun up about, well, what, I don't know, the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. What about being filled with the Spirit? We're going to talk about that. You don't have to be afraid of being filled with the Holy Spirit because it looks like love. Amen. It looks like love. You don't have to be afraid of being filled with the Spirit because He's going to conform you to the image of Christ. Are you afraid of being made like Christ? I wouldn't think so. So the fullness of the Spirit looks like love. It looks like Christ's likeness. That's nothing to be afraid of. Amen? Amen. Can I tell you a story? Yeah. The rest of them are like, I don't know. Wednesday night, I invited a preacher, friend of mine, a pastor who's pastored in Central Oklahoma for many years. I invited him over to my house, and he told me an incredible story. He was doing a wedding, and the guy wasn't saved. He was a burly, tough guy, you know, a man's man guy. But he's getting married. So there's a measure of humility for him. But anyway, they're on this hill. It's a beautiful setting, and the pastor and the man's man, tough guy, are up there on the hill awaiting the bride. He said, Steve, when she came out and was at the foot of that hill and he saw her, big old tears started welling up in his eyes and running down his face. And he was like, I knew I had seen that type of love before. Of course, God quickened him. That's my love for that woman. And so he tells this gentleman, he just whispers to him, what you're experiencing right now is the love of God for that girl. And this grown man, big burly guy, fell on his knees and began weeping. He said, what the preacher said, what's happening to you right now is the love of God has just been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You are being invaded by the Spirit of God. That life is being awakened in you. And when he fell to his knees and began weeping, he said, everybody in that place began crying. That's powerful. You don't have to fear the fullness of God's Spirit because it looks like pure, unadulterated love. Do you think that bride, you think she was perfect? You think she'd ever made any mistakes? You think she'd always treated him right? Of course not. But he couldn't see him. He couldn't see any mistakes. The love he had for her in that moment was so pure, he would have given his life for her. Amen. And my pastor friend, quickened by the Holy Spirit, said that, what you're experiencing, that is the love of God. Amen. We don't have to fear the fullness of God's Spirit because it looks like love in pure, unadulterated form. Can we clap our hands for that? For the love of God. What a great story. What a great story. So back to how are we as a family? Well, we're nice to each other and we're kind to each other. How about this? There's a culture of kindness here. There's a culture of love here. There's a culture of forgiveness. As family, what do? We forgive quickly. We don't hold grudges. We forgive quickly. And when I talk about a culture of kindness, a culture of unconditional love here, a culture of forgiveness, that sounds a lot like heaven to me. Is that not the prayer and the assignment? Pray, Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here as it is there. Jesus didn't come to just take everybody on earth to heaven. He came to change the culture of the earth to look like heaven. It's an invasion. He's taking the Spirit of heaven into the earth dimension to bring righteousness, peace, and joy, love, kindness, and compassion to this planet. Amen. Amen. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is the gospel of the kingdom of God. So that's our culture here. And one more. Kindness, love, forgiveness, and maybe most importantly, are you ready? There's a spirit of belonging here. That you belong here. And, you know, my prayer is, and leadership's prayer is, that any new person or family that walks in here can sense they belong. Because even, listen to me, because even if they don't land here, even if they don't stay here, are we family with them? We are. And that should be the culture of this house. Every time we gather. All right, let's go to the next one. Number four, it looks like teamwork. Everybody shout teamwork. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:20. Indeed, there are many members, but one body, and the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. What do you think the eye represents? Vision. Those who Christ, who's the head of this church, has entrusted, he's entrusted some of us towards vision. Those who have vision cannot say to the hands, those who carry it, we don't need you. He doesn't say the head cannot say to the feet, those who walk out the vision, we have no need of you. It takes all of us. It's a team effort. Look at Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Oh, I love that. As each part does its own special work. As how many parts? Each part works together. Each part contributes. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of the love of God. Put this in your notes. Effective ministry is team ministry. Effective ministry is born out of, hey, we belong to each other. We're called here together by the Spirit of God. When you're called to a body, everybody gets that our call as a team, corporately, is higher than our individual call. That's why we're not going to get bogged down in, well, we're fighting over the color of the carpet. We're fighting over because John didn't shake my hand. Bill didn't let me sing that special. This didn't happen. We're not fighting over that because our individual call is yielded to the greater call. And let me just assure you, it's not, in this house, it's not the call of a man. This is the call of Jesus Christ and what he desires for Grace Church. I'll never forget, about 9 years ago, the Lord asking the elders if he could have this church. He asked us, can I have Grace Church? And we thought about it for 10 seconds or so. And we said, absolutely. Because he said, I'm tired of my churches being in the hands of men. I'm tired of churches being in the hands of committees. I'm tired of churches being in the hands of everybody else but the Holy Spirit. And I want a church I can lead. I want a church I can instruct them to do something and they'll do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I want to be part of that family. I want to be part of that kingdom vision. It's not the work of a man, and it's not about Grace Church having a lot of church members. Who cares? How many members are in the church? What I care about is how many members are there in the body of Christ, in the church. That's our goal together. And he can work out the different kingdom outposts and how many need this and how many need that. And that's why if he says, James, Diane need to go to Edmond, then we'll bless them. We keep hearing that a lot, don't we? Effective ministry is team ministry. And if we're not careful in this culture, me will become more important than we. And we can't allow that to happen. So when God gives us an assignment to spread his love and lordship all over central Oklahoma, then that takes precedence over what our differences may be. And it doesn't mean we don't talk about it. If I teach something or Brother Jeremy or Brother Bruce who taught last week, if they say something that doesn't set right, please talk to us. Please talk to us. We don't pretend to know everything. We only know him. And so we're all under construction. How many of you know 1 Corinthians says every one of us are looking through a glass dimly. We're looking through a glass dimly. So if there's something that bothers you, let's talk about it. Like family. Amen. Team looks like Nehemiah 8:1, where they all gathered together around God's word as one man. They all gathered together to pray as one man. They all gathered together to win their city as one man. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. It does not say they all gathered together to argue over pre-trib or post-trib. King James or NIV. Right? Makeup, no makeup. Hymns, contemporary worship. It doesn't say they got together to argue all that. It says they came together as one man to hear the word of God. And that's what we do here. We come together as one man to see marriages healed. Amen. We come together as one man to see families restored. We come together as one man to see cancer bow its knee. And I'll give you one more, addiction. God is declaring war on addiction in central Oklahoma this year. Amen. This year. Methamphetamine, prescription, opioid abuses. Man, those things have wrapped their tentacles around people. We gotta help people get free. We gotta provide resource. Not just prayer, we gotta provide resource. Places they can go, people that can help them. Amen? We're gonna pull the curtain back. We're not gonna ignore it, we're gonna talk about it. Let's get help. Sexual addiction is the fastest growing addiction in the United States of America. Sexual addiction. We got to talk about those things. We got to help people. And so we do all that as one man. It's not enough to have church. Jesus didn't sweat drops of blood so we could have church for an hour on Sunday. He came for dominion. He brought the spirit of dominion. There are no people addicted to methamphetamines in heaven. What is the prayer? On earth as it is in heaven. If we don't see it in heaven, let's evict it here. Let's demonstrate his dominion, his authority, his power over drug abuse.
Amen.
And drug addiction. Amen. Is there a cancer in heaven?
Nope.
No? Well, then let's evict it here.
Amen.
Let's pray for people here. Jeremy, you guys can come. The last one is, when you're called to a church, it means everybody, not just leadership, is on a personal growth plan. We're all called to grow and mature. All of us. And when we're called to a body, we lose the idea that, man, I hope Pastor Steve's growing. I hope Brother Jeremy's growing. No, we're all called to be on a personal growth plan, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And not just a Sunday growth plan. Not just a Sunday growth plan, but an everyday growth plan. Amen, somebody? Will you stand with me? This is going to be a great series. We touched on this one this morning, but we're going to touch on many, many others that, again, we pray brings great definition and clarity to the body here at Grace and the body of Christ overall. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never experienced what that gentleman at that wedding experienced. And that is the very life and love of Christ to permeate your whole being. If you've never experienced that and you want to know him, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's me. I want to know.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.